Buccaneers fans, the annual mock draft podcast is here on the Ira Kaufman podcast, starring the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself. And we're here at Bill Curry Ford, Ira Kaufman, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. We're sitting here on Tuesday, Ira, and we're 2 days from our big annual draft party. This time, Hillsborough County, for the first time. I don't know who's going to show up, Ira, because we've never done a party out in Hillsborough County for the draft. So we're going to have a new crew of fans, I'm sure. And it's all at Big Storm Brewing Company, Ybor City, right there, Centro Ybor, 1600 East 7th Avenue, if you want an exact address, but it's upstairs, parking all around. Wi-Fi is fantastic and new, I'm told. It's a huge place. We're going to have the Lightning game on TVs in addition to the draft, because the Lightning, of course, will have their potentially elimination game. A lot of people want to see that. Great food, Florida's best craft beer, a lot of fun, and $1,000 in cash if you can pick the pick. We've got two draft pick contests, which is a lot of fun. I can't reveal the tiebreakers, Ira, to see who gets the money. I've been getting emails with that.
I think the first tiebreaker should be who's paying for my meal that night. That should be the first tiebreaker.
Perfect. Because I can't reveal what the tiebreakers are. Otherwise, people can prepare.
I understand.
So that's not fair, Ira. So, Sage, it's been an exciting time. We're here at Bill Curry Ford. Sean Sullivan, the GM, he's downstairs right now handing out $500 gift cards for people who are ordering new vehicles with no deposit. He's dealing the Ira Kaufman discount like he does to everybody. A lot going on here at Bill Curry Ford. And we thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. They are providing the $1,000 in cash at the draft party, floridaselite-restoration.com. You go there, you learn about how they help people and businesses when they've got a disaster in their home, fire, mold, storm damage, whatever it may be, Ira. And you bookmark it, you get all it down what their service is, and then you call them first when you have an emergency. Florida's Elite Restoration, they know how to work with your insurance company. They've got 25 years experience getting money for people when they're about to get screwed, when they've got a disaster and they need their insurance funds to pay for everything. You call them first, they'll give you a free assessment of what's happening at your property. And then if you move forward with them, they'll give you $500 that you can use for your deductible, or it's just cash back. And that's only if you mention the Ira Kaufman podcast when you call initially. And they are fantastic. FloridasEliteRestoration.com. Owner Josh Martin, he's going to be at the draft party, Ira.
It'll be great. You know, I'm excited, Steve. This is an annual right, showing up here at Bill Curry Ford on the brink of the draft. Now, Sean Sullivan's coming by a little bit later. Going to break down this draft like I believe nobody else can. And it's going to be a treat for our audience, because we all know how much time Sullivan puts into this. It's his pet project, along with making this dealership the best it can be. So I'm very excited. I just came from the Bruce Arians Foundation dinner the other night, which is always a great event. Tremendous charity with Bruce and Christine. We're going to have a heck of a podcast today.
Oh, it's going to be fantastic. Lee's got his coffee. I've got my orange and beet juice. You've got nothing, Ira, because you don't need anything. And that's how it is. But I've had people ask...
Sean's bringing me a beet salad later when he comes up.
As he should. I've had people ask, what's a draft party? And so, you know, we've got a start time at 7 o'clock. Show up whenever you want. Big Storm Brewing Company, they're open for dinner. They're open. Get there early, 6 o'clock, whatever you want. There are no dancing girls. I'm sorry, Ira. Nobody's coming at 7 to dance with you. But we'll be there at 7, and we're encouraging fans to get there at 7. Draft starts at 8. Order your fantastic dinner. All the menus at BigStormBrewery.com. There'll be a couple of specials.
I haven't been to this facility. Wait, I can't wait to see this venue. I hear it's fantastic.
Well, there you go. You got a little outdoor seating there, but it's mostly indoors. It's brand new. Fantastic. And they can open the windows there to get even more air in there. It's really cool. All the information is at JoeBucksFan.com. Sage, you were patrolling the Arians Foundation event.
As I do. That's right.
Talking to Todd Bowles. I see you on Twitter. You're talking to Joe Madden. You're hanging out with other people. Up in Arians' face, seemed like he had a few cocktails when you had talked to him. but tell us about what you saw, what you heard, and what you found out. What can you share?
Well, a lot of camaraderie. You know, I didn't expect Joe Madden to show up. I figure he's hanging around in California. But there he was. looking great. Biden is time to get back into baseball. I think you will. I told him I contributed $30 to the Joe Madden Fund. He said, what do you mean? I said, I bought your book with Tom Verducci, who's great, by the way. It's a very analytical book about baseball. He loved the fact that I actually bought it and spent my own money talking to Arians. He looks great. He looks like he's dropped about 30 pounds. Him and his son, now this tells you all you need to know about what's going on with the Arians family. They went to Pebble Beach the last, about 2 weeks ago. Arians, confirmed by his son, shot an 80 at Pebble Beach. An 80. Now, this is Pebble Beach.
Where the hell would you go to a beach with pebbles? Or is this named after?
I thought they went to Myrtle Beach. His son goes, no, we went to Pebble Beach. They played together.
I don't know anything about golf, so what the hell's Pebble Beach?
Pebble Beach is in near Monterey. It's one of the great courses of the world.
Monterey, Mexico, where they have the stadium up on the
come
mountain?
Come on, Lee, you know better than that. It's on a par with Augusta.
I don't do golf. I'm sorry.
Pebble Beach, it's fantastic. I think it's, if you want to play around and you can get in there, it's about $750 a round, maybe even more. If you want to walk in off the street. And you got to book it about 2 years in advance. So anyway, that's my way of saying Arians is playing a lot of golf when he's in Georgia. And as Steve wrote up on JoeBucksFan.com already today, he said that he's going to stay out of Todd Bowles' hair in 2023. He probably was around too much last year.
Todd Bowles has hair?
And I think it's all part of the same thing that I've been talking about with Todd Bowles. And I think it's worth amplifying today is Bowles ain't going down without a fight, if he's going down at all. This is the last roundup for Todd Bowles, and he knows it.
Ira, what is going down without a fight?
Going down means if you go 6-11, you got to be out of a job.
Lee hates these cliches. Going down without a fight. What does that mean? Just coach the damn team.
He's going to be more assertive. And if Canales isn't doing what Todd Bowles wants, he's going to chew out Canales and say, this is what I want. He didn't do that with Leftwich.
I was going to say another, with Leftwich, he was like, I get it.
So he failed last year is what you're saying. Because he couldn't speak up because he's the freaking head coach?
Well, it depends on what failure is. He won the division. He made the playoffs. And then they flamed out. So in the mind of a Sean Sullivan, it wasn't a very good season for the Bucks, and I happen to agree with Sean Sullivan.
Actually just texted me. He's got about 5 more minutes till we start the mock draft. He's giving out the 0% financing right now. No payment for 90 days at Bill Curry Ford, just in case you're wondering.
Now, in my discussion with Jason Light, who was just coming away from the bar with the cocktail. And
Imagine.
And I grabbed him. And first I saw his wife. And I got a running thing going on with Blair because, I called for Light's dismissal at the end of the 2018 season. And then when he wasn't fired, when he pulled Arians out of his hat or out of his butt, however you want to describe it, and he didn't get fired. Then I saw her at training camp the following summer, and to describe the looks that she was giving me in the indoor facility that day, I'll never forget.
Melted
it.
Melted ice, couldn't.
And then about 3 years later, she said, I'm talking to you again, Ira. We're back on good terms. So when I saw her last night, I said, you talking to me, Blair? Because I've been chopping the light around a little bit, saying, he's got a challenge in front of him. He doesn't have Brady. And when he hasn't had Brady, he hasn't been very successful. Well, the team hasn't been very successful. Now, I know what you're going to say, Lee. He built the team that was good enough to entice Brady to join the Bucks. I understand that. But, I highlight his hits. The Vita Veas of the world, the Tristan Wirfs of the world, the Antoine Winfields. But I also smack him around for a 2016 draft that was one of the worst in Buccaneer history. Just an absolute disaster. And I don't even think Jason Light would argue against that. So anyway, Blair said, you're on a day-to-day basis, Ira. I thought that was funny. So I was talking to Light, and I was asking him about his football intelligence. I said, hey, one thing about you, Jason, whether people like you or not, you got good draft intel. You know what the hell other people are doing, generally speaking. Boy, the smile that came on Light's face was like nothing you've ever seen. And he thinks he's got good intel in terms of this upcoming draft. And you know what? That really helps you know what the hell, whether you have to move up or whether you can stay where you are and still get your guy.
Yeah, it's critical. I mean, you got to know what those potential trades are coming at you and that you can get, especially. It's nice to have a clue, but you wonder with some of these GMs would fans do a better job? You still have to
wonder. Well, I think Jason reads the smoke screens pretty well, Lee.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No, he does a good job. One day, Ira, one of these GMs is going to let the fans bring a fan in to make the pick. Someone's going to be smart enough for the whole pageantry and the,
first round draft pick. That guy should be Sean Sullivan, if they're smart.
Are we talking about the first round draft pick or just picks?
No, just, they bring in some guy, wins a contest to make the fifth round pick.
Well, I was just listening to Michael Lombardi's podcast coming in on here. He said Bill Walsh did that. There was an actor. You would know the actor. I don't know. I don't recognize
his name. Shirley Temple?
but anyway, this actor was friends with Walsh. And Walsh would let him sit in a draft room. Guy had to just be quiet. Anyway.
I can't see Ed Glazer letting Keanu Reeves sit next to him.
So whoever this actor was, it was like this back in when they had 12 rounds. And it got to the 10th round, and Walsh turns to the guy and goes, Would you like to pick somebody? Guy whips out a briefcase, starts going through papers. Direct quote. He talked about some nose tackle from Auburn, and he said, "This guy gets penetration like Warren Beatty at a sorority house."
Oh, my goodness. Let's keep this thing clean over here, Lee. But so Eddie DeBartolo signed off on it and let him do it. I don't see the Glazers letting Sean Sullivan make a fifth-round pick. I don't see it.
Two questions for you, Ira, out of last night's schmoozing there. Now, I know you talk to people and you're Mr. Secretive because it's off the record and stuff, but I got to ask you this. You can't hide from this one, Ira.
All right.
What is Arians talking about when he said, "I think I might have been around too much last year"? What does that mean?
Well,
now, keep in mind the irony of this guy constantly saying when he was head coach, "Oh, I let Byron do his thing. I don't even get involved. Defense, I don't even get involved in the meetings. What are you talking about?" And that now all of a sudden he's around too much. Now, yes, we saw him at practice and all this stuff, but what was he talking about?
Sometimes he says things for effect, Bruce Arians. I've been around him long enough. You can't take everything he says as gospel, Lee. I think that was his way of sort of giving Bowles a break for going 8-9 last season. Hey, I was around them too much. I influenced them a little too much. It didn't work. I'm not going to do that anymore. The truth is, I don't think Arians was around that much last year, because if he was, he would have straightened out Byron Leftwich by week 5. So I think he just said it for effect. It's all about, putting Bowles in the best position. And he knows the fan backlash against Todd Bowles at this moment. It's very strong. Not as strong as it was against Leftwich last year, but it's right there. These fans are on Bowles' ass.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised.
There's no question about
it. Right.
And I think Arians is very aware of it. He's trying everything he can to put Bowles in a position to succeed.
The strong implication, Ira, from what I saw last night, is that Arians has not even picked up the phone and talked to Dave Canales, the new offensive coordinator. Was that your impression?
I think that's right.
Strange or not strange?
No. This is Bruce Arians' graceful exit from the organization, basically. You're going to see him at home games, because I don't think he's got anything better to do. And, he's not going to be on the field. I'm not sure he's going to even go on the road. I don't think he will. Arians is backing out, and he's doing it on his own terms.
Last two quickies. Jason Pierre-Paul, he was there. No other Bucks players there. Do you think that's odd? And do you think JPP is looking for a job?
I thought it was very odd. Now, I've been at this gala event for about 3 or 4 years in a row, and a couple of years ago, when JPP was still on the team, so that was 2021, Steve, when they were defending their championship.
Yep.
He was the star of the night at this gala, because when they started doing the auctions and somebody said, I'm bidding $1,400, JPP would stand up from the table and say, $2,000, and he would get all the bidding up. I mean, he was very animated. He was very into it. Now, I don't know what happened last night, because I didn't stay for the auction, but it was surprising to see him. He still bleeds Buccaneer a little bit. And
that's interesting. That's interesting. He left.
But I expected Mike Evans. Now, look, I don't know what's going on with Mike Evans. He might be in Texas.
Sure. Well, you expected somebody, and you didn't see any.
I didn't expect Devin White, and sure enough, he didn't show up.
Well, I don't know if Evans is here or not, but they are working out.
Mayfield,
all the guys working out are in town.
Speaking of Mayfield, it wouldn't have been a bad idea for Mayfield to show up.
He was at the Lightning
Foundation. Oh, he was at the
Lightning game.
Well, JPP, maybe he is looking for a job, maybe not, but he does throw his money around. He's probably one of these guys driving that gorgeous Mustang Mach 1 I saw here in the Bill Curry Ford lot. That thing is beautiful. Sean's got to get me one of those things. All right. Our annual mock draft means that we bring in our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, host of the Best in Class podcast, which, if you're not listening to it and you like the draft, you don't really like the draft that much because you need to listen to the Best in Class podcast.
Tell people how much time and effort Mr. Sullivan puts into this.
Anybody who's listened to Sean over the years, this is not like a new figure coming in here. Sean, get on the microphone here. He's just walking in here. This is Sean's, when he's not working, this is his hobby. This is his passion. So think of anybody in life, their passion. This is it right here. It's not that Sean doesn't have other
things. I'm reading a book about Bobby Fischer, the chess champion, who went mad at the end. He went crazy. I'm not trying to draw parallels to Sean Sullivan and saying he's going to flip out and go off the deep end. But the obsession that Bobby Fischer had with chess, which is what you have to have to reach a championship level. I mean, there's millions of chess players around the world. This guy got to be number one. That's Sean Sullivan with the draft and personnel. When he's not on top of what's going on with Bill Curry Ford, and there's a lot going on at Bill Curry Ford, he's into the draft, and here he is today.
Can I say something real quick about Bobby Fischer?
Yeah.
I read this within the last week, that when someone references 1972,
yeah,
that would be like when someone was in 1970 and they're referencing World War I stuff. The time lapse is the same. See what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you were a kid, when someone started talking to you about the Somme, what did you do?
I turned it off.
There you go.
So, Sean, welcome. Thank you for welcoming us here to Bill Curry Ford. So how are you, Sean?
Couldn't be better, Steve. Everything is going fantastic with the new store. We are 3 months away from our grand opening, so it'll be the second Bill Curry opening since 1958. We're very excited about that. As you know, we're a third-generation family business operating in Tampa.
Now, wait a minute. This isn't a new story. You've been here 64 years, a mile north of the stadium.
So the same facility that was built, right? So second grand opening of a different facility, and it's a state-of-the-art dealership of the future, $28 million. It's going to be spectacular. I can't wait to bring Buccaneers fans and Joe Bucks fan listeners into the store and give them a private tour.
Nobody's going to recognize this place.
No one. We're not just taking the face off. I mean, we're building facilities for the new electric movement that's coming. I'm prepared for whatever's coming from the government over the next few years. Our pickup and delivery also starts with the new building. So we'll be doing mobile service, pickup and delivery for service, pickup and delivery for sales. We're going to have VIP rooms. We're going to have noise-deafening chairs. You can come in and make a private phone call without everybody listening to you.
So Ira can scream into the chair.
That is absolutely right. It's very exciting stuff. And I could talk about the dealership all day, but I'm excited to talk about football. And I'm ready to go. I got my stuff ready. And just getting back to my passion, Ira, you said I'm passionate. Listen, I've been a Bucks fan. My father, who was my hero, took me to every game for the first 4 years of the Bucks' inception.
And the first 2 years you said, Dad, when are they going to win a game?
That's right. That's absolutely right.
Now, wait a minute. Sean's not that old. He didn't even talk when he went to the first game. Right?
Yeah. So, you know, and then, of course, my dad passed away. So, like, the best memories I have are of football with my dad. And it became a passion of mine growing up. I was a Jesuit high school. I had my own club there for Buccaneers.
I didn't know that. That's
interesting. I did my own little thing. And I really got into the draft because, as you know, as a Buccaneers fan, we never won anything.
Who was your favorite Buccaneer?
Oh, Vinny Testaverde.
Wow.
So Testaverde was the most exciting draft pick I've ever met. I met Leroy Selman later in life, and I really loved Leroy Selman, but I didn't know him then. But when Vinny Testaverde came in, he was the biggest star in the world. He was the number one overall pick. He was probably threw the nicest ball that has ever been thrown by a quarterback in history. He played three sports. A lot of people don't realize
that. Fantastic athlete.
Right.
Fantastic.
What a great athlete he was.
Yes.
Yes.
He threw for 44,000 yards.
Perkins didn't know how to bring out the best in Testaverde. He couldn't do it.
All right. I'm cutting you off.
He couldn't do it with
Steve
Young.
The Panthers are on the clock, Sean. The Carolina
Panthers.
All right,
now wait a minute. I'm going to start this off with a question of Sean Sullivan. I'm going to get him going. Sean, I've been looking at the draft, and in my little humble opinion, this is not a great draft, Mr. Sullivan. I'm sorry. It is not a great draft. You've been doing this over a long period of time. Where does this draft stack up? Overall,
mixed bag question. One, there's no way that anybody could possibly know if this is a good draft or not because the players haven't strapped on their shoes and played a game yet. I think what they're doing is they're still looking at the high-end potential of first-round draft picks. Every year, like last year, there were 23 graded first-round draft picks out of the 32 picks. But, of course, there's 32 first-round picks. This year, there's 17.
That's pretty much a big drop.
It's a big drop out of 31 picks because, you know, the Dolphins lost their pick over the Brady scandal. So you only have 31 first-round draft picks. And it's the grades they're giving him. And I am not a grader of draft picks. I want a draft pick to produce. It's going to be 3 years before we know if this draft is good or bad. I think what they're saying is high-end talent can't miss prospects, which, by the way, miss every year. The can't-miss prospects that they say every year they
every
miss.
Year.
If you can pick 50% of your first-round draft picks correctly, where they're productive NFL players, it puts you in the top echelon of the NFL GMs. Just 50%. You only have to be right half the time, and you're a top GM in football.
Point, Sean, every time somebody mentions Bill Polian, oh, he's overrated. I don't like what Polian says on SiriusXM. I look back at Polian's picks with the Colts over about a 6 or 7 year stretch. Their first pick, which wasn't always a first-round pick. Sometimes they didn't have a first-round pick. But the first guy that Polian picked for the Indianapolis Colts 7 or 8 years in a row was a hell of a player. That's why Bill Polian's in the Hall of Fame. That is hard to do.
Real quick about Polian. He said the other day, the best general managers bat 560 in the draft.
560. You're going to laugh. I think I could definitely bat 560, right? I think these guys overthink these picks. I think they try to find ways. Like, Steve, just so you know, I personally DoorDashed every single rookie to see if they would send the food back, you know, to see if I want to take them off my draft list or not. Personally DoorDashed everyone. Can a football player play or not? Right? It's pretty simple.
And they don't trust the tape enough.
They don't trust the tape, and they get confused by the combine. They get confused by personal workouts, throwing in the air. They're throwing in the air. There's no throwing lanes. There's nobody. It's just all nonsense. Like,
look how high the guy can jump. Look how high he can jump.
Right. Anthony Richardson is the best five-tool athlete in the draft, except he plays quarterback. That's one of the things. Can he throw the ball?
Yeah.
I mean, can he throw the ball with timing? Can he be accurate?
Can he read a defense?
Can he read a defense? How fast does he get his progressions out? He's over 3 seconds when he's reading a defense. I mean, these are things that as a GM should be basic stuff. I don't care if the guy has a 47 vertical, right? Or he runs a 4.35 40. Who cares, right? Can he throw the ball right on time? I mean, look at Malik Willis last year. Malik Willis was this athlete guy, and everybody moved him up the boards. And I'm like, I have a fourth, fifth round grade on this guy. I'm thinking, there's no way this guy can't hit the broadside of a barn. And I'm thinking to myself, and what happens? He gets in the Monday night football game, and he completes 6 passes. They were actually running the ball on 3rd and 17 because they didn't want him throwing the ball.
He got benched, of course, for the third stringer down there as well. All right, Sean,
Jake Locker get the same label? He was a great athlete.
I don't understand. I want him to be a great quarterback.
The Panthers are on the clock. Now, we're doing a mock draft. These are the picks that you believe the teams will take. Is that correct?
Yes. Not what I would do. This is what I think that the teams will do and the general managers of some of these prospective teams.
And based in part on their needs. On their knees.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, and information and research and things like that.
Ira, don't spoil it. Sean might have laid out that, you know, he's seeing the constellations over northern North Carolina.
The Northern Lights? Yeah.
All right. With the first pick, the Panthers select
Bryce Young, quarterback, Alabama. I think that this is already done. I think that the owner of the Panthers has been meeting secretly and not secretly with Nick Saban on these long meetings, and I think that this is about drafting Bryce Young, a 5'9.5", 180-something-pound quarterback who was a Heisman Trophy winner in 2021. He also has a national
Sean,
championship.
That upsets me. That upsets me because the bottom line is the guy goes to the combine, and he measures 5'10 and a quarter or so, 200 pounds, but you don't count that. What's up with
no,
that?
No, because I think all like the combine stuff's all exaggerated. It's just like training for the 40. Right?
Is it like when Ira gets on the scale and he comes off and says, I'm 193? Is that
yeah,
like
rounds it yeah. off? Well, yeah, because Ira's just going to say, hey, I got a little water weight on me. It's nothing. It's not real weight. Right? So a guy doesn't go from 179 pounds playing weight at Alabama during the season and goes to the combine at 206. He drank a lot. You know, it's water weight, it's protein weight. As soon as he gets in training camp and he's under the sun, all that weight's going to come off his natural body. His body's only going to carry whatever weight he's naturally supposed to carry.
I don't want our draft gurus thinking, oh, Sean doesn't know how much the guy weighs.
Sean, when the Panthers made the deal, tell me if I'm wrong, when they made the deal and all the pundits were weighing in, the vast consensus was they're taking C.J. Stroud. That's going to be the number one pick. They're fixed on C.J. Stroud. What happened?
I think that was based upon the head coach that they hired, Carolina, when they were...
Who's making this pick?
Right, but if you look at his past history, he's always had these big, tall, strapping quarterbacks. And Frank Reich would tell you, well, I had him, I inherited him, I didn't draft him. So I think a lot of that initial talk was because C.J. Stroud fit the Frank Reich mold of quarterback that he's had in the past. And then I think as people started delving in more, they realized that they were really infatuated with Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud.
You agree with this pick?
No, I don't.
Well, real quick, Ivory, what changed, I think Sean started to allude to this a minute ago. At his pro day, at the Alabama pro day, Nick Saban and David Tepper, your friend David Tepper, I'm being sarcastic there, of course, your friend David Tepper and Saban sat in Saban's office for an hour. And like Michael Lombardi said, he goes, he knows how much Saban loves this quarterback. He also knows how much NFL people really respect Nick Saban. So Saban was working on this guy for an hour. Done.
Sean, of course Saban's going to talk up his quarterback.
Listen, all that's expected for
recruiting. I don't want my owner making...
Nick Saban. It's not Ryan Day.
No one ever is going to not put his product... Because Nick Saban's a recruiter. He's got to recruit quarterbacks. He can't go out and say, I'm not standing behind my quarterback.
Sean, I don't want my owner making the pick. I don't want my owner making the pick.
I wouldn't want the owner making the pick either, but let's...
Who signs the check?
I want to move past Bryce Young, but I want to give you a couple of points. I want the Joe Bucks fan listeners to talk about the research that I actually do on these picks. One, out of all of the quarterbacks, these top five quarterbacks that are out there, Bryce Young held the ball longer in the pocket, almost 3 seconds, than any other quarterback before he made his throw. That's either processing or he was waiting for a place to develop because his offensive line was so good that he had that extra time. Mm-hmm. He's not going to have that in Carolina. Other thing is, the majority of his 72% completion percentage are passes under 10 yards.
Ooh.
That's another big one for me because C.J. Stroud, who's my guy, I love C.J. Stroud, his completion percentage is based on intermediate passes between 15 and 25, and he also throws the long ball better than any quarterback in history at Ohio State.
So he's flipping it to Gibbs half the time.
He's doing a lot of below 10-yard passes. When he goes to an intermediate pass, he struggles, and I'm going to tell you why. Because he's 5'10", 5'9", and a half. That's why the throwing lanes, he's going to have to move out. He's going to have to be able to see over offensive tackles that are now averaging, 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". Guards are now no longer 5'10". The guards are now 6'2", 6'3". It's going to be very difficult. This is the Baker Mayfield conversation. These guys have got to move out of the pocket and create throwing lanes to get the ball down the field. He's going to struggle with it.
With the number 2 pick in the draft, the Houston Texans select
C.J. Stroud, quarterback, Ohio State.
Smokescreen about this nonsense.
I don't think it's a smokescreen. I really think that they're debating drafting C.J. Stroud or, say, a Will Anderson. I believe it's real because
you know
Lee's
theory about the defensive coach.
I think there's some validity to it, but my only thinking is, where is this other quarterback coming from, and how is a rookie coach going to go in here and pass up a franchise quarterback when we're a quarterback-driven league? He's not going to get the quarterback at 13, which is his second pick. He's not going to drop down in the second part of the draft. We can talk about Hendon Hooker here at 13 if they pass on C.J. Stroud. Hendon Hooker will be 27 years old when he's healthy enough to start a football game, and he's a project based upon the fact that he played in an offense that doesn't translate to the NFL.
You're right.
Right, and we don't know how he's coming back from his ACL injury. I mean, it's a quarterback. I mean, he throws off his plant leg, right? I mean, that's where he gets his strength from. And Hendon Hooker is a guy that throws downfield, but he also – he doesn't throw in between the hashes very accurately. His receivers
Hooker
were extraordinary. He does not. His receivers were extraordinary. They made up for a lot of his passing. He's going to have to be more of a precise passer in NFL. And timing. His timing is going to be off because he's a three-step drop throw the ball guy because that was the offense that he played in. He's going to have to learn that when that first progression's not there, he's going to have to get to the second, third, fourth progression.
I thought his greatest attribute was accuracy. That's all we ever hear about.
When you see his outside throws, so his intermediate throws are extremely accurate, kind of like Jameis Winston. When we talked about Jameis Winston's accuracy, his accuracy was in the middle of the field. When you see Hendon Hooker throwing downfield, he misses the shoulders and he misses the inside versus outside hash, which you cannot do in the NFL. The ball will get picked off.
Sage, Sean, regarding the Texans and the draft and the defensive player, I'll just say they could always do that with the number 12 overall pick, and they could still trade up. If they want to go defense, they could probably get the third best defensive player in this draft.
I don't trust that front office. I think they're clueless, and they got a defensive coach. Doesn't think like normal people. They think you can win without a franchise quarterback.
Sean, I think your basic point is if the Texans blow this and don't take Stroud at two, they're going to regret it.
They're going to regret it. Last year, they regret not drafting Sauce Gardner. He was the defensive rookie of the year. I said he was going to be a Pro Bowl, all-pro player. He was coming in. I said he was the best guy coming in the draft. He's going to automatically be the best guy in the NFL. Guess what? He was. I was right about that. Houston completely dropped the ball. They had the chance to draft Sauce Gardner. They passed.
That's why they're Houston.
They're so shameless, they hired Lovie Smith.
There you go.
With the number 3 overall pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select
Tyree Wilson, edge, Texas Tech. I think that he goes over Will Anderson. I think there's enough people talking about Will Anderson being a solid player, but then the upside of Tyree Wilson is that he is – there's no bows in this draft, just so you guys know. There's no top pass rusher like that, but you do have – Tyree Wilson is the closest you're going to get to a consistent pass rush, size, speed, and I think that that's where Arizona's going.
I don't care who they take. I think that's the worst organization in the NFL. They stink.
Ouch.
With the number 4 overall pick in the 2023 NFL draft, the Colts select.
I think the Colts are going to draft Will Levis.
And wait a minute. I think. You gotta give your pick with gusto.
I'm going to go with everything that they're drafting a quarterback. So we just have to get the name right. We know that they're drafting a quarterback. So it's either going to be Anthony Richardson or Will Levis. I think they're going to go Levis.
All right.
Is he worth the 4th pick?
No.
Will Levis to the Colts, and Colts fans boo in unison.
Not at all. The guy's a weightlifter. That's a problem. Go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. Because remember, Chucky wouldn't draft Brady Quinn because he was too buff, he said. Had an Uber driver in Indianapolis. And what do you do? Why in Indianapolis? All this stuff. I don't try. So anyway, I told him what I'd do. He's like, please don't tell me the Colts are going to draft Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. I mean, between the two of them, I don't think Will Levis and Anthony Richardson are a first-round grade for me. I wouldn't draft either one of them in the first round.
With the number 5 overall pick, I think this will be quite a turning point in the draft here. The Seattle Seahawks select
Will Anderson, edge, Alabama. I think this is where his fall stops. I think that
Carroll's a happy man.
Oh, yeah. He wants pass rushers. So, I mean, it's either going to be Jalen Carter in this position or Will Anderson. I think they go Will Anderson. I think he's too much to pass up.
Do they consider Richardson at 5?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And a quick Seahawks sideline, Ira. I sat there 20-something minutes, Geno Smith interviewed by Richard Sherman. All Seahawks, all about Geno Smith and his rise. The word Canalis never came out of his mouth. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but very odd, and it's important to keep that in perspective when you say, oh, well, he developed Geno Smith. Well, Geno Smith didn't even mention his name. All right. With the number 6 overall pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Lions select
Devin Witherspoon, corner,
Bingo.
Illinois.
Yep. That guy screams Matt Campbell.
He does. Very physical corner, huge size, excellent tackler, tone setter from
corners
the line.
Corners don't usually go that high. Sean, not usually they don't go that high.
I have him at 6th, and you had 2 corners last year go in the top 10, and look at the difference that Sauce Gardner made on the New York Jets.
I said Matt Campbell. That's Iowa State's coach. Dan Campbell.
Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a team to reckon with. Detroit's coming on.
Well, Ira, if you listen to the Best in Class podcast.
I mean, I've talked about that, Detroit.
That's Sean's
sleeper. That's right up Sean's alley.
All last season, he told everybody to put their money on the over. Did it come through? I think it came through at the end.
It came through.
Like, so gee, huh?
I beat Vegas. I said they win eight games.
They won eight games.
You're on a roll.
So Vegas had him at 6.5. By the way, speaking of Vegas, which I'm not condoning betting, but Vegas has some of the best odds makers, and they are terrific at picking players, wins, so forth. They have the Bucks now. Is the 3rd worst team in the NFL at 6.5
six
wins.
And a half, yeah, 6.5,
yeah. Right. The only 2 teams worth, you already mentioned, are Arizona, and the other one's Houston. Ooh. So they're basically saying
you don't want to be in that company.
We're basically in a company with Arizona and Houston, according to Vegas.
Caleb.
Stop with the Caleb. Go ahead.
All right. With the number 7 overall pick in the NFL draft, the Raiders select
Christian Gonzalez, corner, Oregon. So here's the guy. So the Raiders had
another corner.
They did. They had the worst pass defense in the NFL. They were 32nd. They're drafting a corner.
They couldn't stop anybody.
No, they could. And Christian Gonzalez is a guy that I have ranked higher than Devin Witherspoon because I like the fact that he's a mirror corner. So I know the physicality is super important from Devin Witherspoon, and he fits what the Lions are going to try to do. One, Christian Gonzalez is going to get his hands on a lot more balls. You know, he's a guy that's going to intercept the ball. He's going to have some pass defense. He ran a 4.38 40. He's got great size, and wide receivers can't shake him. He's going to be spectacular.
Their recent draft history, Sean, it's lousy.
It is lousy. Well, I mean, they drafted Arnett at corner.
Well, Gruden,
you know, so
Gruden was horrible. I mean,
how about that defensive Cleland Feller?
Yeah,
the guy's just a guy. He's just a guy.
He was a guy that was drafted in the top 10 out of Clemson with pass rush possibility, which didn't produce at Clemson. There's several guys like that.
He's not getting a second contract with the Raiders.
He is not.
How much do you factor in being, you know, all your research of the draft? How much does that spook you? They're drafting a corner from the Pac-12, and basically the only passing offense they face is USC.
So I can't judge the competition, right? Unless we're talking about Division II,
which you and I have. It drives you wild.
It drives me crazy when people draft Division II players and then expect them to contribute in the NFL right away. The jump is too high. What you see with Christian Gonzalez, it doesn't matter what the competition is. They couldn't shake him. Right, so I'm not looking at the quarterback or the passing. I'm looking at some of the receivers that he went against. He went against some top receivers
and his technique.
He went into the combine and just showed out like a show pony.
Isn't the combine a show pony kind of event?
It is, but you'd be surprised how many guys show up out of shape at the combine.
Oh, look out, he's writing down. That's bad news.
One, the guy runs better than any defensive back in this draft. As far as he's a gazelle. Watch him on the field; it's effortless.
Would you take Weatherspoon over Gonzalez? If you now again, this you're projecting what the teams will do.
He says he's got Gonzalez as the better player.
In my rankings, I have Gonzalez. I mean, it's tight, but for me specifically, I'm going with a guy that's the best cover guy. I think Weatherspoon brings a fierceness, glass eating, physicality that is terrific. But if you already have those players, I need somebody that can actually take a wide receiver out. I want to start a game going, okay, Jefferson's not going to win this game, you know, for the Vikings because I'm putting my guy on him.
Yeah. Now, Sean's breakdown of all the corners and defensive backs, top eight did you do, I think?
I did eight defensive backs, and then I did five safeties, and then I brought in I talked about the guys the Bucks brought in on visits.
And that is in the latest Best in Class podcast, which popped in the wee hours of Tuesday morning. So you can listen to that if you want to go deep on these prospects. It's there for you. It's like a resource. It's like a library. You just go to the Best in Class library out there on Apple Podcasts. You can find it really wherever you find podcasts. Okay. With the number 8 overall pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Falcons select
Lucas Van Ness, Iowa pass rusher. So
God knows they need a pass rusher.
They need a pass rusher. They don't have a pass rusher. It's either going to be Nolan Smith from Georgia or Lucas Van Ness. Lucas Van Ness, size-wise, fits more. What their defensive coordinator does with their alignment is he fits much better what they're doing on defense. I think Nolan Smith has a better upside than Lucas Van Ness. I'm not a fan of Lucas Van Ness. I think I've made it very clear that my guys I draft are going to start on my team. If he doesn't start in college, it's for me, it's a red flag that he doesn't start. You know, he had 7 sacks, 9 QB hits. But the problem with Lucas Van Ness, he only had 14 tackles. I mean, you only tackled 14 people.
That's crazy.
Right.
That's crazy.
14 tackles?
That's what he had. 14 tackles.
Didn't start.
He didn't start.
Rotational player.
But the reason why I put him here is because I listen to Locked On Atlanta Falcons. I follow the journalists, just like the sports reporters I'm talking to right now, that cover the Atlanta Falcons. And I do every single team. So if you guys want to know how I get a lot of information, I listen to like the Joe Bucks fan in every city. And
there is no such thing.
There is no such thing at this quality, for sure. That's for sure. Some of these guys are doing it out of buses and I think out in the fields. But they love Nolan Smith and Lucas Van Ness. And I just think that he fits what they're trying to do. I think this is way too high for him. This is not what I would do. This is what I think the Falcons might do.
Of course. And that's the emphasis there. There's a guy, the director, out in He covers the Chargers. Very interesting guy. I like him. There's some good ones out there, but there's no Joe Bucks fan. All right.
Sean, every time I look at Nolan Smith on tape, he looks really small.
He is small.
Is that necessarily a knock on him compared to what some of these smaller guys have done as edge rushers?
Maybe you got to do full screen on your YouTube, Ira.
What you have to do with Nolan Smith is this. You have to realize you're still thinking like a 4-3 defensive end. That's 6'7", 260, 80 pounds.
Not, you know, Julius Peppers' days are over, right?
No. But let's just talk about Nolan Smith for a second. Does Micah Parsons look small to you for the Dallas Cowboys?
No.
Same size.
He looks great.
Okay, they're the same size. And guess what? They ran the same 40 time as well.
Is he as versatile? Is he as versatile?
Athletically, he is on par with Micah Parsons. I'm not saying he is Micah Parsons, but athletically, he's the closest player to Micah Parsons in this draft. So when I say he's small for what a traditional 4-3, but these are now 3-4 outside rush linebackers.
Okay.
And Micah Parsons is a guy that gets up on the line of scrimmage and plays stand-up on the line of scrimmage, which is very rare. That's Lawrence Taylor-esque. But all of the hype right now is the Falcons are taking Bijan Robinson. So, I mean, I don't know what kind of smokescreen that is, but, I mean, Tyler Ajir had a tremendous season for the Falcons last year.
He sure ripped the Bucks in that finale.
We're 25% through the draft. I need a grade. What do you think of what Sean laid out here? How many do you think he got right here?
I think Sean got 5 out of 8 right.
5 out of 8?
5 out of 8.
Well,
Sean will be buying everybody's shots at
three
Big
out of eight. 3 out of 8 would be fantastic.
At Big Storm on Thursday night.
I got additional confidence.
All right.
In Sullivan
5 out of 8. Lee, what do you think? How many do you think Sean got right here?
Quite a few, I would say. I thought the Witherspoon was dead on. He's not as big on Witherspoon as he is Gonzalez, but he was also factoring in the coach. Witherspoon, his game fits exactly what Dan Campbell wants.
Yeah.
I think Sean's got 2 right. I think he's got 2 right, but I think he's going to come on stronger.
Sean,
later.
This Van Ness guy should be picked at 22, not where the Falcons are.
I agree.
Hey, so Grady Jarrett needs help. I understand that. But,
right. But just remember, 11 out of 32 picks last year led the United States in the most correct picks.
All
Vegas
right.
was 11.
11.
With the number 9 pick in the NFL draft, the Bears, who traded out of number 1, select
Paris Johnson, offensive tackle, Ohio State. Played with Justin Fields at Ohio State, protected him there. They're friends. I think if they have the choice between Peter out of Northwestern or Paris Johnson, they're going to take Paris Johnson just because of the familiarity with Justin Fields.
So number 10. At number 10, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
This is where Jalen Carter's slide ends. He's a top 10 pick, even with his car crash.
They love the trenches, Sean.
Right.
They love
and
it.
And I think he failed some interviews. I think that he's going to go to the Eagles, and he would fit right in with the Eagles' character, in my opinion, because, you know, the Eagles are full of a bunch of terrible people. And
they love the rotational defensive line.
Right. So, I mean, and they don't really care about, you know, how good a person is, right? So, as a human
being. The Chiefs
being.
Are a little bit like that.
Right. So he'll fit right in with the Eagles.
Would they think about Robinson? At that spot?
I just don't think that the Eagles are valuing Bijan Robinson more than they're valuing a top 5 defensive tackle. That's my opinion in it. I think the Eagles could trade back up in this draft and get him in the 15 or 19, which I think is more for a running back. Remember, no running back has been drafted high since Saquon Barkley. Is Bijan Robinson better than Saquon Barkley? I think he is. I think he's that much of a difference maker. I think he's the best running back since LaDainian Tomlinson. And I think that he is reincarnated. I think he's fantastic.
Is Carter worth the 10th pick? Carter.
Yes. I mean, he's according to a lot of people, scouts, that he was the best player in the draft. I don't see it. I see a guy that takes off plays. I see a guy that doesn't practice hard. I see a guy that doesn't take the coaching. I see a guy that plays around too much, who has an immature attitude.
At number 11 overall, the Tennessee Titans select
Anthony Richardson, Florida QB. They love this style of running quarterback. I think that he's going to be too much for them to pass up. And Hooker doesn't fit their offense, so I think it's Anthony Richardson.
They need some excitement in Nashville. They seem to be sliding as a franchise, Sean.
I agree.
They're sliding.
Well, I mean, if you take King Henry and you put him with Anthony Richardson and you run like a Lamar Jackson-style offense where it's going to be a read first where he can run or he can throw down the field, I think it's possible that that's what they're going to do.
You know who loves that draft pick? People in Indianapolis, people in Jacksonville. Houston's hopeless, so what?
Ira, what's the percentage chance the Buccaneers draft Anthony Richardson? Where do you put it? Maybe they don't have to move up. Maybe they do. Whatever it is, what do you think the percentage chance is? They do?
2.
2?
2%. I don't think there's a chance.
Lee, you think there's a chance?
Well, you know what I think of defensive coaches as head coaches.
Bowles needs help in 2023. Richardson's not going to help
him.
Or in 24, 25, 26, or 27.
That's a very apt. What kind of pressure is he getting from the Glazers? That's number one. Number two. Is it his pick or is it lights? I don't know.
Well, I think ultimately it's lights. I do. But he puts a lot of stock in what the coaches want.
I mean, what Ira says is dead on. He needs wins. He needs a guy on the field now. But is Baker Mayfield, do we know he's going to be that quarterback? We don't know.
We don't know.
And I'll I'm willing to put $500 down Kyle Trask is not your starter.
That's fine. If that's the case, then the Bucs can get their quarterback next year.
Yeah.
If Vegas is correct and we win six games.
That's right.
Right, we're going to have an opportunity to draft a franchise quarterback.
That's what I'm thinking.
But I think they're going to give Mayfield this year or Trask this year to figure out what we have. I think it's fair to everyone.
Why throw Richardson into this mix?
Well, let's talk about Anthony Richardson as a swimmer. I think he's a fantastic swimmer. He can dunk a basketball better than anybody.
Can Richardson play other positions? Can Richardson play other positions?
Tight end, linebacker.
In the interim.
I mean, my goodness, he doesn't throw with timing.
The Bucs do need a tight end.
His footwork is a mess. He can't read a defense. He can't throw a ball with accuracy. I'm a Gator fan. Don't you think that I would want him to be the best? I don't know what they're looking at. He can't throw with timing. He can't place the ball. He can't throw the ball down the field. He can't read defenses. He's a run first, pass second quarterback. I don't know. How are you going to teach him all those things?
How would you compare him to Justin Fields?
Justin Fields is a terrific quarterback. I don't think it's even a comparison. Justin Fields throws with accuracy, threw for over 70%. He throws the downfield ball probably better than any quarterback in the NFL. He's phenomenal. I think his throwing is coming along, but I think he's had terrible coaching. I think this is another guy that they put a really good quarterback prospect into terrible coaching.
And not a lot of weapons.
I think you're going to see a big leap for Justin Fields this year, just like Lamar Jackson.
Just like Jalen Hurts.
And by the way, since you brought up Hurts, I see people comparing Anthony Richardson to Jalen Hurts. That's borderline obscene. Jalen Hurts was an elite quarterback in college. When he was at Oklahoma, he tore people apart with his arm. I saw those
I can
games.
Point this out in just one sentence. Jalen Hurts threw for over 70% completion percentage in college, and he threw for a lot of touchdowns. Anthony Richardson threw for 53% completion percentage, which is... In college, it's unheard of to be that bad of a thrower. And then doesn't throw touchdown passes.
Yeah.
What do you say about the Josh Allen comparisons when people bring up Josh Allen?
I mean, are they drug tested, Lee? I mean...
All right, with the number 12 overall pick, their second pick, the Houston Texans select.
They need a receiver to go with their new quarterback, Jackson Smith Enigma, who's the best wide receiver. He's my number one guy out of Ohio State. Unbelievable talent.
Enough said there. Now we've got a shift, Sean. Most mock drafts don't have it. With the number 13 overall pick, the Packers, after their trade with the Jets, select.
Packers go with the top tight end, according to many scouts, and Dalton Kincaid, senior out of Utah.
By the way, going forward, Sean, you got any faith in Jordan Love?
Everything I've seen from Jordan Love is awful. So I haven't been able to see enough. It would be like judging Kyle Trask on the fourth quarter of the Atlanta Falcons game and where he's playing against a first-team defense and we have all of our subs in. It's really hard to judge him that way.
But you're not high on him. You're not high.
I wasn't high on him in college, no. Okay. I don't. But, again, the coach of the Green Bay Packers is a quarterback guy, and he seems to have a ton of faith in Jordan Love. So, again, I'm going to hold my thoughts on this until I actually see the guy play.
With the 14th overall pick, 2023 NFL Draft, the Patriots select.
Nolan Smith, edge Georgia. This is where I think he comes off the board. The Pats have brought in more edge rushers than any other team in the first round for top 30 visits. Not that that can signal anything other than trying to see what's out there, but the Pats have been known for actually drafting people they bring in on top 30 visits.
And they have a knack for these edge rushers that nobody ever heard of, like Judon or whatever. The guy ends up with 14 sacks.
Right. Actually,
they do a good job with
actually,
that.
Judon actually had a tremendous college career. He just played at a smaller school.
Fun fact with the Patriots, they brought in Rob Gronkowski for a top 30 visit. They put him in a room. He was waiting for his turn for something, and he came in. He was sleeping on the floor. And it didn't go too well. But they drafted him anyway. So there you go.
There you go.
At the number 15th overall pick, the Jets select.
Broderick Jones, offensive tackle, Georgia.
All right. So they go with the big tackle.
I think that's what they need for their new quarterback. Some of their picks have not worked out on the offensive line. I think Becton is I mean, how hurt has he been? I mean, is he going to come back healthy? And that's the Tristan Wirfs draft. And I just want to say the Jets drafting, they had the best – they had absolutely the best draft last year. I thought it was sensational with Garrett Wilson, Offensive Player of the Year, Sauce Gardner, Defensive Player of the Year for the rookies. I overall, with Breece Hall, was a tremendous pick as
that,
well.
That, he's that's some strong draft in there.
And then they came back and got the Florida State pass rusher and later in the first round that was a situational pass rusher for them.
Draft and you know what? The Bucs can do that this year. Get two, three good rookies. Two teams do it every year. Why not Jason Light and the Bucs? So we don't get what we saw the last couple of seasons.
And now we're approaching the halfway part, or maybe even a little more.
We're getting there, Sage. Yeah. I know you're a math guy from your days at the Regents in New York. We're listening to the voice, of course, of JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan here at the Bill Curry Ford Studios, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium at Bill Curry Ford. And Sean will be out there hugging fans. No, Ira's the hugger. He'll be high-fiving fans at Big Storm Brewery on Thursday night, Ybor City, for our draft party with the number 16 overall pick, the Commanders select.
Brian Branch, safety, Alabama.
There he goes, Ira. He's not coming to the Bucs.
I understand.
He's not coming to the Bucs. All right, it's getting closer here. With the number 17 overall pick, the Steelers select.
Joey Porter Jr., cornerback, Penn State. I think this is a no-brainer. They need a corner. He has a legacy with the Steelers. The Steelers have a history of drafting players like Casey Hayward. And then last year they drafted Pickett, who was in the same locker room as Pittsburgh. I think they like this tight-knit thing, and I think they have all the information they need on him from his dad. I think he's a Steeler.
Is he your number three ranked corner?
He's my number three ranked corner.
All right, Ira. Now we're halfway through. How many rights does Sean have now? You gave him five out of eight.
What have we done, 17?
16. 16. No, 17.
17.
Yeah.
He's got seven.
Seven already?
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
He's got seven.
I'm giving Sean.
I'm glad you have a lot of faith in this. You realize that the mock draft, Ira, is just to learn the players. It's a lot of fun to do, but I tell you, to get it right,
he's gonna get
seven right, it would put me in the top 10%.
Well, the trades 10%. Screw it all up, right? We're not doing trades. That screws it all up.
Yes, it does. And remember, a couple of the top that change. Let's just say the C.J. Stroud changes for Will Anderson, or Anthony Richardson goes to the Colts instead of Will Levis. It screws up your next 15 picks. That's why this is like a deck of cards.
Yes.
You got to get the top picks right.
Or Houston takes one pick and just keeps trading down to load up for next year.
Screws you up.
Or the Bucks move up to number two. You never know.
There you go, Ira. All right. Bucks pick at 19. We're with the number 18 overall pick. Sean's second favorite team, the Lions, select.
Bijan Robinson, running back.
Oh, I thought it was coming. I thought it was coming to the Bucks.
He is not. I don't think he gets past the Lions.
So you think the Lions...
Didn't they take Swift high a few years ago?
Yeah, Swift is injuries. He's been injury-prone for 3 years in a row. They signed David Montgomery away from Chicago, but they let Jamal Williams leave. I think that's the backup role. I think he's looking for a generational running back, and I think it fits what the Lions are trying to do. Bijan Robinson makes a lot of sense here for
the Lions.
That's
a nice offense. It's a nice offense.
All right, Sean, I don't know. I got to disagree with you on the Bijan Robinson thing. I look at that Lions offense as an electric machine right now. I don't think they need anybody else, but it'll be interesting to see where the organization is. But if they do get him, man, that's going to be could be the NFL's best offense, and they were close to it last year. All right, the moment is here. The Buccaneers are on the clock. Sean's, who's left?
So Peter Skorinski, the offensive tackle slash center slash guard for Northwestern, shorter arm guy, or he'd be one of the top tackles, plays with the best technique and leverage in the draft. So it's a really versatile, very versatile player. He's a Jason-like guy, for sure. He's a very hard guy for me to put somewhere just because his technique and leverage enough to get over his physical limitations. And that's a Jason-like question. I trust Jason Light when it comes to offensive linemen. I think he's the best in the business.
Yeah, he's good
at it. If he likes this guy, then he likes the guy. Another one, Darnell Wright, is this offensive tackle out of Tennessee. You've seen him mock to the Bucs over and over again. Now, he's a true right tackle. He's just a sled of a
mauler.
He's a mauler. Excellent pass pro. Excellent run blocking. I think he plays left tackle. I know a lot of guys are saying he's just a right tackle. I think he has the feet to play left tackle. I think he can be taught. But if Tristan Wirfs flips to the left, you know, you can put Darnell Wright as an instant starter on the right-hand side. Miles Murphy, edge Clemson. We haven't talked about him.
Yeah.
You don't like him?
Clemson defensive end? A Clemson defensive end.
So
you're going to have to – there's a lot of people out there are going to have to be on Xanax. I mean, Bucks fans –
What do you like about him, Sean, what do you like?
Well, I think that he sets the edge extremely well. The Bucs need pass rush. He gets to the quarterback. He played at a high level. He played against high teams. I think he's got an NFL-ready body. I really like a lot about him, actually. The school doesn't scare me, Lee, because it's the same conversation when someone says, well, how many – when I was talking to somebody about C.J. Stroud real quick, mm-hmm. and they said, well, he's an Ohio State quarterback. Mm-hmm. How many have been successful? And I'm like, that would only make sense to me if it was the same head coach and the same coaching staff for the last 30 years.
And the same system.
And the same system. How could the school make a difference on the player?
Wasn't Dabo Swinney around there when Daquan Bowers came out?
What, at Clemson?
Don't mention Bowers.
Daquan Bowers had an injury issue. I don't think that was had anything to do with talent.
Lee,
calling him out.
Don't mention Bowers on a podcast.
So the best tight end available right now is Michael Mayer. And I know that Jason Light's really high on him. I have my own reasons why I think that at Notre Dame. The guy can block. He can catch. He basically gives us a baby Gronk. He gives us back our Gronk, which I think we were missing greatly.
Strong blocker.
Very good blocker, yeah. Strong leader, which I know that doesn't matter to Lee, but he's a good locker room guy.
It's overblown.
He comes from a school that you know that Jason Light loves. I love everything about Michael Mayer. He ran a slower 4.69 time than I expected. But, I think he's better than Dalton Kincaid, who everybody's super high on that the Packers that you know took in this mock draft. But he's on there. And then you have Anton Harrison, who's the offensive tackle at Oklahoma. He has been mocked to the Bucs many times because he can play left tackle. So you wouldn't have to move Tristan over to left tackle. And then you have Jahmyr Gibbs, the Christian McCaffrey guy out of Alabama that a lot of people are saying might – as of this morning, I know this is Tuesday morning – are saying it might be a top seven pick in the draft as far as talent-wise.
Jahmyr Gibbs.
Wow. As far as talent. Remember how they said Bijan Robinson might be the second or third best player in the draft?
Yes.
It's a position that moves him down. It's not the player that moves him down. Mm-hmm. Jahmyr Gibbs is one of those guys.
All right. At number 19, the Buccaneers select
Jahmyr Gibbs, running back, Alabama.
Because he's got a burst that the Bucs don't have in their backfield.
That is correct.
He's Kamara-esque.
He is Kamara-esque, McCaffrey-esque. He also plays slot wide receiver. So he does sweeps, wide receiver screens, plays the slot. He gives you 4-3 speed from the running back position. He's an explosive player. What did Jason Light talk about? I'm trying to read through all of the...
More speed.
All the stuff. He said, I want speed on offense. Well, now you have speed on offense at wide receiver and running back with Jahmyr Gibbs. He's the ultimate weapon in this draft. If you're not going to get Bijan again... is, I think, a generational talent. Mm-hmm. Jahmyr Gibbs, on any other draft, would be the number one guy, three down back.
All right. What do you think of this pick? This is what Sean's interpretation of what the Bucs are going to do after these other 18 picks. You on board or not?
I think they need more juice on offense. And this guy, now the only thing that bothers me, Sean, is he wasn't a bell cow at Alabama. It wasn't like the guy was getting 20 carries a game. He was kind of a spot player.
He got 17 touches a game, Ira.
But he averages 10 yards a reception. That's high for a running back.
Let me just tell you about Dave Canales. Rashard White's not going to disappear in this, right? You're going to have two backs.
Well, if this guy's not better than Rashard White, I'm not taking him at 19.
No, I'm saying what I'm saying is you're not going
to
just write off Rashard White. Jahmyr Gibbs doesn't have to carry the ball 30 times. Dave Canales will move his running backs around. Our quarterback, let's just say what it is. We're going to have a game manager as a quarterback.
Not going to throw 43 passes a game.
They are not. We're going to be a running team. I think everybody talks about we're going to be a running team. Do we have the horses right now to be a running team? You and I both spoke off the air. We don't think we have the horses that's necessary with Chase Edmonds, Rashard White, and Keyshawn Vaughn. You add Jahmyr Gibbs, all of a sudden, our offense is explosive.
Even if the holes aren't there, Sean, like they weren't last year?
I think that what you're going to find is you're going to have a healthy Jensen. Whether worse moves to left or right, that position's all done. He might be the best.
You got three open spots up front, Sean.
You don't respect the guards like I do.
Ira? You like this pick? You think this makes sense?
If this kid is as good as Sean thinks he's going to be,
then I don't have a problem with it. And you think Jason Light would do it?
No, I think he's going to take a tackle.
All right. So Ira's got the tackle.
I think that's the safe pick.
The whole concept of the Bucs being a running team, I'm not buying into that yet. If these guys are open, they're going to throw him the damn ball. You said it yourself. Everybody said it. Todd Bowles needs wins. Every Bucs coach I've watched, when they need wins, they force the ball to Mike Evans. Now, they didn't do that enough with Tom Brady because they didn't need to, but I think we're going to see a lot of that.
Well, let me drop a little nugget in from the Arians Foundation. This is the perfect time.
All right. Well, here you go.
Speaking of Bowles last night, Sean, and I mentioned Canales, and we were talking about him, and I said the pedigree from Seattle, They play tough defense and they run the football. And the first thing Bowles said to me, and he didn't hesitate, was, yeah, and they had 2 1,000-yard receivers. Don't forget about that. They were not just a running team.
Seattle, and Canales is a big part of this because he was a receivers coach for the longest time.
They had good receivers.
They always had good receivers, and I think only once did they draft a guy in the first round. But he always developed receivers.
So this thing about the Bucs being a running team, I don't know. Bowles threw a little cold water on
it. So maybe you can help me with this a little bit because I'm still waiting on taking Jason Light to Burns. My offer is still out there. I send him emails. The guy doesn't want me to take him to Burns. I can give him the best of everything, and then I can pick his brain off the record and just understand it. But let me just tell you something. The Dalvin Cook mistake is a mistake that still lingers on this team. We made a mistake not taking Dalvin Cook. If you could redraft, I guarantee Jason Light takes Dalvin Cook over O.J. Howard. If we could redraft right now, we build a time machine outside at the brand-new Bill Curry Ford showroom. We build a time machine. We're going back. We're getting Dalvin Cook. If you have the opportunity to make this right, you have an opportunity to add a guy that fans will want to come and see. We had to buy, as a corporation, we had to buy 2 years of tickets, even though Brady's not going to be there this year, because the Glazers were like, we're going to force you to buy 2 years because we don't know what's going to happen with Brady the next year. Now I'm in a situation where now I paid hundreds of thousands of dollars in corporate sponsorship. We gave the Bucks another $2 million from Ford Motor Company to support the stadium and the advertising rights, right? To go watch Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask play with no star power whatsoever. Tell me a star on this team. Mike Evans is a Hall of Famer. Everybody knows that. Give me a star on this team that someone's going to be one of my son's going to come and say, hey, I'm putting this jersey on. Take me to the game.
Godwin?
Who's that?
Godwin?
Who's that? No.
No, Levante David?
Not a household name.
And Lee, you always talk about the Glazers talking about star power.
Please
and
tell me who we're going to see. If Jahmyr Gibbs is on this team, he has a tremendous following.
You don't think there's a solid fan base for Levante David?
Well,
Tampa,
not to get asses.
Not a national. No one's going to put the Bucks on night television and say, we have Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans.
Yeah, they're looking at one forced Thursday
night
game.
Does Gibbs have that kind of stature, though?
He does. People are going to want to watch him play.
You're talking about passing, Ira. And Sean,
not as much as Bijan, of course.
You're talking about passing, you're talking about running. What do you make of what Kay Adams said? You don't want Baker Mayfield thrown 30 times a game.
Maybe about 30 times a game. I could see that number, but not 43.
My point is, can Jahmyr Gibbs win games for us this year? And I'm saying he can. I'm saying he brings juice to the offense. You need to know where he is on the field at all times, just like Christian McCaffrey.
Would you try him as a kick returner? Possibly? Or
I wouldn't risk injury on a kick returner. Okay. But let's just think. The 49ers traded for McCaffrey. Right, they gave up a lot to get McCaffrey. Look at what they did to his offense with Brock Purdy as the QB. Is Brock Purdy and Baker Mayfield a similar type player? I think they're very similar pros. And I'm thinking if you're going to run that type of offense, you need a McCaffrey mixed in there.
That's high cotton, McCaffrey. It's high cotton if you're comparing him to McCaffrey.
I mean, Sage, he's pretty incredible.
Did a poll at JoeBucksFan.com. The fans, overwhelmingly, over 50%, think offensive line is the team's priority. Should be the team's priority in the draft. Did the same poll a couple of months ago. Offensive line led, but it was more like 33%. But they were still leading. So the fans are on the offensive line. Of course, we're sitting here talking about what Jason Light will do. I have a really strong feeling Jason Light might go tight end and may have two or three that he really, really wants because those guys still block. Offensive line, yes, but they still block.
I think he likes Michael Mayer a lot.
Yeah, Sean's got the best tight end in the draft of being available at 19.
I mean, I'm sure Mayer's a great player. I'm not 100% sure if he's the guy they want to. I don't know if he's big enough to block. I understand he's a good blocker, but he's not very big. Because we're going to talk about quarterbacks beefing up for the combine, he only weighed in less than 250.
And that's right. He's definitely a wide receiver. He's definitely an offensive player. Like where Darnell Washington is a guy
ready to block.
You know, he eats glass. He will knock the teeth out of your mouth coming off the line of scrimmage, and then he can go out into a pass pattern. The problem with Darnell Washington right now is I got the text yesterday that a lot of teams failed him for a medical. I have no access to what the medical is. I don't know what the medical is.
Ira, you can read Ira's colonoscopy. He's got it in his briefcase over there.
Sean, if they don't use a premium pick on an offensive tackle, if they don't, who's going to start at offensive tackle opposite Tristan Wirfs?
Well, I think that's the second and third round. That there's a lot of right tackles.
You got to address edge rusher too.
You're not gonna address an edge rusher in the top three picks in this draft if you're not going to go first round. If you don't go Miles Murphy edge in here. You could go a little bit. You could go with the Auburn Derek Hall guy in the second round. Derek Hall he's a better run defender than he is pass rusher, but he's a guy that you can stick in. I just don't think they invest another. They have Logan Hall. They have Joe Tryon. I just don't think they go with another premium pick and a guy.
But I like how Ira talks about premium picks. Then when I mention how Todd Bowles has never developed a pass rusher off a premium pick, I get killed. At any rate. What do you make of this, Ira? The Bucs built one of the best offensive lines in the NFL, maybe for a year or two, the best, with only one first-round draft pick. So what do you make of two first-round draft picks, both at offensive tackle? Is that spending a lot of first-round picks on one room? Is that a little
Well, I do agree with Sean's main point about Jason Light. Say what you want about his drafting resume. He knows how to draft offensive linemen.
He does.
He has proven that to me.
Yes, and he likes to draft them later in the draft. I think he gets better value out of that.
The way you got to sum up this Gibbs pick, if that's the pick, is juice. Juice.
Yeah, he gives certainly speed, yeah.
He wakes up the offense. And to Steve's point, we're going to need a tight end in this draft. Mm-hmm. We're drafting a tight end in this draft, whether it's first, second, third, fifth, sixth round. You're going to draft a tight end. You're going to draft a tackle. And you're going to draft a running back. You're going to draft
a slot corner.
You're going to draft a slot corner or a hybrid linebacker safety guy. That's going to get done. I told you, if you listen to the podcast, I went over three guys that I think the Bucs are going to draft in the fifth or sixth round. I just don't want to invest that kind of capital in the defensive backfield. We've got Winfield. Yes. We signed Ryan Neal. And then you have Antoine Winfield's contract coming up. I just think that's crazy. And then wide receiver, you have the most expensive wide receiver room in the NFL. And, adding a wide receiver.
And Sean, there's not another running back even close to Robinson and Gibbs in this draft.
Nothing.
Not even close.
No, there's great running backs later. Like we've talked about Tyjae Spears. People have talked about him. He's kind of terrific. This guy.
Tulane, right?
Yes, guy Charbonnet out of UCLA, and I know that Lee's not super high in him.
Only because he's Chip Kelly guy.
I went back and I looked at his vision. He might have the best vision of any running back in the draft. I'm not saying he's the best. I'm not saying he's a top-tier running back. Vision-wise, he fits the wide zone system that Dave Canales is going to be running, where he's going to be patient waiting on running lanes. Charbonnet fits that size. So there are guys later in the draft that I think that they can pick up that would be excellent for us, where we don't have to do 19 overall. Jahmyr Gibbs is special. So imagine having a guy that can run sweeps and actually get positive yardage. Imagine that you could put him in a slot and have him do some wide receiver screens out of the backfield. You're not a linebacker.
He's versatile.
Can't guard Jahmyr Gibbs.
So Steve,
correct.
Sean shows the back of his hand to all the pundits who say you don't draft the running back in the first round. And not only Bijan Robinson, he's taken the next rated running back. So Sean Sullivan says, you got to add some juice to this offense. And when you look at the skill players, they're not fast on this team. They're just not fast.
No, they definitely need the juice. All right, now we've got 11 picks to go. We're going to sprint through them. We want to remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford is here for you 24/7 at BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com. And Sean, you're listening to him. You can also listen to him if you come in and purchase a vehicle or you want to have some serious body work done and talk to him about that. He's there for you, and he's going to hook you up with the Ira Kaufman discount and take care of you like your family. That's how it is here at Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. And, of course, the draft talk and the draft fun will continue at our draft party Thursday night at Big Storm Brewery in Ybor City. All the details at joebucksfan.com. And remember, at our draft party, you can win $1,000 in our Pick the Pick contests. Pick the pick, that's pick the draft pick, courtesy of Florida's Elite Restoration. They're not just about mold and storm damage and getting your home right and working with your insurance company. They're hooking up Bucks fans every possible way, and that includes having some fun at Big Storm Ybor on Thursday night. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. Sean,
the
Sea Chickens in the 2023 NFL Draft. Who you got?
So they're gonna go with another pass rusher because Seattle, that was the one thing they needed last year. They're going with Miles Murphy, edge Clemson.
All right, so that's no surprise.
That's two pass rushers, right?
That is two pass rushers. They can't. That one fell to them, and the other one is too good to pass up when a team that was one of the worst pass rushing defenses in the NFL. Besides the Falcons, the Seahawks greatly needed pass rush.
Which is why if we were redoing the 2017 NFL draft, the Bucs would have taken T.J. Watt, not Dalvin Cook. So because too good to pass up, especially in hindsight. The 21st overall pick in the NFL draft, the Chargers select.
Jordan Addison, wide receiver, USC. Another target for my boy, Herbert, that's there.
They're building a hell of an offensive line out there as well.
Keenan Allen's getting a little old, too. Yeah.
Jordan Addison is the best slot receiver in the draft, and he's spectacular. He's also the best route runner in the draft.
With the 22nd overall pick in the NFL draft, the Ravens select.
Zay Flowers, wide receiver, Boston College. I think they go back and get Lamar Jackson another weapon.
That's Ira's guy, Zay Flowers.
People like the fact that he stayed at BC rather than coming out early. They give him credit for that.
So Zay Flowers is an electric player, and if the Bucs were going to pick a wide receiver, they could trade down from 19, pick up the fourth round pick, and still grab Zay Flowers. Again, I just don't think they're going to pick a wide receiver.
But trading down would be nice to get that fourth round pick. They don't have one in this draft.
I don't mind trading down.
All right. With the 23rd overall pick, the Vikings select.
Quentin Johnson, wide receiver, TCU.
The run on wide receivers goes now, Ira. With the 24th overall pick, the Jaguars select.
Keely Ringo, corner, Georgia.
I haven't been hearing much about that guy. Is he...
He was one of the top defensive backs. He's been sliding down based on
where is he on the Sullivan rankings?
Seventh ranked on my cornerback list.
Ira hears Ringo. He thinks the Beatles. He
does, right.
He just goes crazy over there. All right, with the 25th overall pick, the Giants, the emerging Giants select.
Jack Campbell, linebacker, Iowa.
With the 26th overall pick, the Cowboys select.
Michael Mayer, tight end, Notre Dame.
So there goes the Jason Witten clone over to the Cowboys.
That's right.
Well, wait a minute. Don't they have a tight end?
Hey, not right now. They let him walk. Even Dalton Schultz, you mean?
That guy's good.
Yeah, he's he's not on the team.
Just ask the Bucs.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's not as good as he is when he plays the Bucs.
Oh, my goodness.
He's a world beater.
He can catch the ball.
When he plays the Bucs, for sure.
Crazy, Ira. You know, Will Golston caught him on the old show there. They asked him what went wrong against the Cowboys, and he's just like, I got to give you a politically correct answer. I can't talk about it. I mean, it's like the team rolled over for Todd Bowles. Freaking defense allowed 28 points a game over the last six games, and people forget that.
Yeah.
All right, drives me crazy. All right, with the 27th overall pick, the Bills select.
Peter Skorzynski, offensive tackle, slash guard, slash center, Northwestern.
I haven't seen any draft, mock draft that has him being available in the 20s. None of them.
Again, it's about fit, right? So obviously you probably won't find one that has Jahmyr Gibbs going to the Bucs at 19 either. So that's what makes the draft so fun.
A lot of people have him as the first offensive lineman, right, Sean?
I just
off
don't.
The board.
I would have a tough time with it.
Okay. If the Bills take him, you can expect that scream you hear will be Sean just pumping his fist and screaming at the draft party. All right. 28th overall pick, the Bengals select.
Anton Harrison. That's the offensive tackle. The Bengals have got to improve their offensive line again. These poor guys.
So he'll be opposite
year.
Orlando Brown.
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Now the Slimy Saints pick at number 29. Sean's third favorite team. I'm kidding. Of course, Sean hates the Saints as much as he hates the Seahawks.
No, I hate the Saints more.
Got it. Are they in Eagles territory or no?
No, the Eagles are still number one.
Okay.
Right, but they're all terrible. All of them should lose their franchises.
At number 29 overall, the
Who
Saints
you got
select?
For the Slimy Saints?
So, unfortunately, they need a defensive back, and I think they go with Deontay Banks, Maryland, and he's absolutely one of my favorite players in the draft at corner.
Couldn't they take a receiver, Sean, to go along with Olave? Not knowing about Michael Thomas?
Well, Michael Thomas is supposedly going
to I don't know about Michael Thomas.
No, he's ready to play.
All right.
According to the Saints.
Jarvis Landry's still unsigned, right? I believe.
Jarvis Landry still unsigned, nice. Yes.
And at number 30, the defending Super Bowl champ, the defending NFC champs, the Eagles select. Ooh, a change on the board.
Wait a minute.
The commissioner is not sure.
I don't like this pick.
He's waffling.
I don't like this pick.
He's getting lightheaded. We've been talking
about. So they took Jalen Carter with their first pick.
Because he fell, right, he fell. They need an edge rusher. It's going to be.
Spit it out, Sullivan.
I'm gonna go Derek Hall. I think that he fits what they're trying to do defensively. I think they go defense again. I was going to have them go offensive player with
he's
the running
out of,
back.
Hall's out of
Auburn. I was going to have them go offensive, and I'm just not happy with that running back going that high.
And the final pick, because the Dolphins have no pick because they were tampering with Tom Brady and who knows what else they were doing. The Chiefs, Sean, at number 31 overall, who will they pair with Blaine Gabbert?
So they go with Darnell Wright, offensive tackle, Tennessee.
Little protection for Gabbert. Ira, yep. Final take, how many Wright did Sean get, and how do you grade his performance here?
Sean got 9 Wright, which is very strong. Very strong. It'll be among the top prognosticators.
So just to clarify, Ira gave you 5 right out of the first 8, and then you fell off the map.
I did. Well, that's what happens. That's what happens as the trade happens. Yeah. Happens. But I'm very impressed with Sullivan's diligence here.
If I got 9 right, I'd be doing backflips.
Yeah.
Who else can break into detail the 7th-ranked defensive back on his board? I mean, that's strong.
Well, all of those breakdowns, if you love the draft, you can't sleep. They're all at Best in Class Podcast. You can find that online. Lee, final thought?
I'm just glad we got this guy as our draft analyst.
JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan. You can find him all the time at Bill Curry Ford. And Sage, I'm talked out. I'm
who,
gonna
who,
be...
who made the shrewdest pick in the first round over there, Sean?
Shrewd, as far as define shrewd. Do you want me to
value?
Who got the best value?
Who got the value?
I think KC with Darnell Wright. And I'll tell you what, Kansas City started 6 players on their Super Bowl team that they drafted. 6.
Mm.
I mean, everybody says you can't get good picks drafting at the end of the rounds because Kansas City has consistently picked in the last.
You're talking about rookies.
What did I say? I apologize. I meant rookies.
Including a 7th rounder.
Including a seventh rounder. The Detroit Lions, another team that had a tremendous draft, drafted a guy out of Jackson State who got 8.5 sacks. In the 5th round, which is pretty crazy.
It reminds me of when the Bucks were, starting Cody Grimm and Stammy Strouder and all those great teams of Mark Dominic.
You know, one other thing, Sean, I'll leave you with this. When Brady was on the Bucks, you didn't necessarily have to have a rookie that contributed. You were a veteran team. Sean, that's changed. No Brady. They got a coach fighting for his job. Vegas says you're going to win 6-7 games. You have to have immediate contributions from these rookies.
Yes.
And Mr. Gibbs fits that profile.
Nothing heals a GM's draft better than a skill position like running back, where it doesn't require a lot of time for him to be good in the NFL. Now, how good, like, the difference between, like, if someone says, well, running backs don't have value anymore in the NFL, well, you know, that's actually not true. They're not getting second contracts. That's really what the conversation is.
That's a different conversation.
You don't want to pay a 27, 28-year-old running back anymore. That's a different conversation. But, like, Breece Hall had made an amazing impact on the Jets last year.
He can't stop.
Right.
He's right about Breece Hall. The Jets were flying.
Josh Jacobs, who became another Alabama running back who led the NFL in rushing last year, was a massive impact on the Raiders. When you look at these guys, and you look at even Dalvin Cook, even injured last year, that Minnesota plays different when Dalvin Cook is healthy and when he's not healthy. Aaron Jones for the Green Bay Packers. We talked about when Aaron Jones is healthy, that Packers offense is one of the top offenses in the league.
And the Titans have been a perennial playoff team with
King Henry. Absolutely. And what happened to the Colts last year when they literally lost their top running back? Their entire team fell apart.
All right. Well, Sean, thank you so much. Sean, Shane, thank you for hosting us here at Bill Curry Ford. Sage, thank you. You will be out at Ybor City.
As will Mr. Sullivan.
Big Storm Brewery, yucking it up with the fans. Lee, thanks. And I'm out unless somebody else has something to say. Anybody have a word to say?
I do. Surprise. I would like to say it's an honor to be included in this podcast with these great guys. I do get some feedback on Joe Bucks Fan, where people say, you're so lucky and privileged to be able to talk football with those guys. And
Seriously,
I get emails. What is it like to sit in a room with these guys and talk football? And it is a true privilege of my life that I get to spend time with you guys and Joe Bucks Fan and get to do something that I love so much and a passion. The same reason why Joe Bucks Fan was founded by passionate people who love their team.
There you go.
And then I get to sit next to the greatness that is Ira Kaufman.
Sure.
So it's again, I just want to say I kid a lot. I'm a very I want to say confident person. I'm a very fun person when it comes to, I don't lack any confidence in anything I say. I do get humbled when I sit around you guys and we talk football, and I really do appreciate that.
Sean, do you like the fact that even though we all want the Bucs to do well, this podcast is brutally honest about the Bucs, what they do well, what they don't do well. We don't kiss anybody's ass over here.
Well, I think that's true journalism, is it not? I mean, true journalism is not to take the status quo and run with the status quo like some other websites do, who basically just appease the people in charge. I think it's good to question people in power. I think it's good to question Jason Light's, whether when he's good, you praise him,
and when he's
bad, you say you're bad.
That's right.
I think that's the best fan is one that doesn't.
And that
just
gives us credibility.
Yeah, and I don't just drink the Kool-Aid. Well, so I love that.
Sean, we appreciate your appreciation, definitely.
But Sean, you know, the fact that you know, that's very humbling what you said. Let's put, you know, money where your mouth is. I want to F-150 right off the rack, $10,000.
That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
And I'll speak for Ira as we get out of here, because I know Ira, what he was thinking when you were talking about how wonderful it is to be here with him. He was thinking, hey, look, Sullivan, next time lay me out some coffee and some donuts here. Well, you know,
yeah, we both know who's buying his meal at Big Storm.